Listen to this music all day. Oh, holy cow. So welcome to this, I don't know, cynical supplement, I guess I'll call it. This isn't looking to be a frequent thing, but it's become more and more obvious that no one else on the normal podcast wants to hear me talk about Persona. So I'm taking this opportunity as the owner of the RSS feed to put up whatever the hell I want. And put up this Persona thing. So I'll be talking about the Persona 5 reveal, which just happened on May the 5th, otherwise known as Persona Day to people like me. 5th of the 5th, Persona 5, etc. And I'll be talking about like the PV5 trailer thing they put up, the information we got from that, how excited I am about the game. So let's just kick straight to it, I guess. It's just me, which means I have no one to bounce off. Which means this is going to be really awkward. I don't know. I hope I can hold up a freaking thing by myself. I'll probably make some, like, have some musical interludes whenever things get too boring. I don't think this will go too long, but you never know, especially with me talking. I don't know. That said, so yeah, Persona 5 is happening, surprise, and it's happening sooner than I had expected this year, but also later than I was hoping for. So I was hoping for like a July-ish kind of release in Japan and a end of the year release over in the US and hopefully even Europe, even though that's highly doubtful to happen looking at Atlas's history. But from the hilarious live stream yesterday, which consisted pretty much of like, what was it? So it opens with just like a picture of the Tokyo Tower, which to many, like many people freaking mistook it for the Eiffel Tower, which is perfectly easy to do because it looks very similar in at nighttime. So there's just a static image of the Tokyo Tower. And it's on Nico Nico TV, which is like the worst streaming platform ever. Like, holy cow, I don't know why the Japanese like publishing community, etc., hasn't caught on to this thing called Twitch or any of the other, like YouTube, any of the other freaking decent streaming platforms out there. But no, they have to stick with freaking Nico Nico TV, which has this weird like premium thing to the point where like if you watch enough, like too much Nico Nico, it like stops you from watching more and asks you to become a premium subscriber. It's also like really shit video quality. You can't even full screen it. It just gives you like an error. It goes like, you need to be a premium member to full screen freaking streams. So what it does is just like fills your browser window instead. It's like hot garbage. So they stream on Nico Nico, which is the popular streaming service in Japan for whatever reason. The fun part about that is that you can have like comments mode enabled, and what that means is essentially it scrolls comments like as a kind of, it's not even semi-transparent, just like straight up text over the video feed, which is great because, you know, the first half hour of this thing was just like a looping music, which was pretty good. Like, I didn't mind it, but like each music segment was like a 10 minute loop of a single track, so like it would be in a game, like the music comes from the game, I assume. It sounds great, but like, I'm sorry, 10 minute loops aren't meant to be just like sat there and listened to. So yeah, like doing like listening to that while reading Twitch chat and reading like Giant Bomb and NeoGAF while people speculated as what was happening tonight was fun. But so the stream starts. It's just that for 2 hours. Like, it's just straight up like starts at 9 or 8 o'clock p.m. or 8:30 p.m. Australian time, and then just goes on for freaking 2 hours to like freaking 10:30 of just looping music with nothing else. And then at 10:30, it doesn't even go straight into the reveals. There's like the freaking old lady who played like Teddy in freaking Persona 4, who's like now internationally renowned for her trolling abilities, because all she does is like stand there and just talk in her weird voice for like a couple minutes in Japanese, and half the audience can't understand what she's saying. And then there was like a weird fever dream purple banana dildo monster thing that was holding like a newspaper for a while. Yeah, that happened. And then there's like more looping music, but now into different music, and interspersed with like 10 second clips of like someone speaking into the microphone. And I have the impression that was Morgana, the new mascot, which is the adorable cat thing. I also forgot, like at the start of the stream, there was like the two like lolly, so like young female jail warden velvet room characters. For anyone who doesn't know what the fuck Persona like characters and the Velvet Room is, I apologize to you. I can't really explain it. There's this mystical room in space, in time space, where this old man gives you special powers and shit, and he usually has some people helping him out, and usually it's like this like either a weird like overly butlery dude, or an equivalently weird attractive overly like servile female who's also crazy. Like, she's not like servile to you, she's servile to the old man in the Velvet Room, and not really in a sexual way. It's more like, oh, he is my master. It's like from the fact that they're not really human, it makes it appear as if they're not human. They seem to be like watchers in the same way that like neutral figures in like Japanese / pseudo European Bible freaking, I don't know, fiction tends to represent. Some like neutral character, like a watcher that like views things happening, just like interposes themselves into fate every now and then. Alternatively, they could be servants of like freaking some of the like high angels you see in the weird other Shin Megami Tensei games. So stuff like Sandalphon and some of the crazier, like really high end, like voice of God, hand of God, Gabriel, that kind of shit. Freaking angels, they're servants. These could be servants of them, but whatever. So the two lolly characters reveal their names, and may as well start getting to like, I'm not even going to call it news, just interesting talking points. Not even that, like just interesting. Okay, I'm going to take away interesting. Just things that were said during this set of reveals, okay? Like, I find them interesting. I'm not going to freaking impose that upon you, the listener. You can decide that for yourself. But the two girls are called Caroline and Justine. Caroline seems nice. Justine seems like a total bitch. People will totally gravitate towards one or the other, as is their want, because it is an anime game, anime-esque game, and that's just how things go down on the internet. So yeah, they just talk about things. Again, everything was Japanese, so barely anyone from the West understood what the fuck was going on. You couldn't trust any of the translations, because A, there were weird Uncharted 4 spoilers in the chat, because of course there were, and at the same time, other people were just making up shit like, oh, it's coming to PC. Like, that's clearly not. They clearly didn't say that. Shut up. So that happened. And finally, when I think, 11 o'clock at night rolls around, having started watching at 8:30, we finally got Morgana on screen, the adorable cat. And it just talked in Japanese for like a good 5 to 10 minutes before finally showing the trailer. And the trailer finally revealed that the release date of the game is on the 15th of September 2016 in Japan. And was anyone expecting like a worldwide release? Not really. Oh, I don't think you should have been. Was anyone expecting like maybe you know, like any form of outside of Japan news, a couple people will be like, oh yeah, at least they may like hint at something. I wasn't personally, I was expecting this to be fully Japan, and that's kind of what we got. So we got the amazing fourth trailer for Persona 5, and the Japanese release date, and the announcement of some of the DLC. So before we get into the trailer stuff, because that's when the actual analysis will start, or some form of analysis, I'll just be talking shit, I don't know. The DLC announcement is pretty fucking cool. So you had three pieces of DLC. I don't know if they're paid or not. I couldn't see like a figure that was similar to what would you'd expect DLC prices to be in yen on screen. So maybe free DLC. But one of them is like the Evil Izanagi, Decent Good Izanagi, and whatever the fuck the persona was of the Persona 3 and like protagonist. I keep thinking it's Orpheus, but I think I'm wrong about that. I'm pretty sure I'm wrong actually. So yeah, like the two Izanagi, so one from Adachi and one from Yu or Charlie or whatever you named him, from Persona 4. There's gonna be DLC for the game, which is kind of cool because those. It's fun that they're bringing back the older protagonist's main persona, because I feel like a lot of people kind of got attached to them either through the anime or through like, you know, that's your first persona. I know at least in one of my Persona 4 playthroughs, I played the whole game with just Izanagi, never switched out, which allows you with that game, because you can use skill cards, you can actually make a ridiculously overpowered Izanagi by the end of it, which is pretty fun. Anyways, so that was one piece of DLC, but the other two pieces of DLC are actually way cooler. If you're a Persona fan, again, like I'm not going to say that you at home think any of this is cool. I think this is awesome, and because this is my soapbox, I can say what the fuck I want. I think they're awesome. The second piece of DLC is the school uniforms and shit from Persona 3, which I only find cool because A, that school uniform looks sharp and dapper as fuck, and that's awesome. So I might end up putting that on some of the characters. But far more importantly, there's an Aegis costume for Morgana the cat, and that is the single most adorable thing I have seen in quite a while. Holy, that like, oh, I just melted my fucking cold, dark heart. Seeing that was adorable. So that's that I'm overly happy about. And then obviously you have the third piece of DLC, which is just straight up Persona 4 school uniform and like just costumes for everyone. That's fun. I might end up mixing matching them just so I have like the some people with Persona 5 garb, some people with Persona 4 garb, some people with Persona 3 garb, just to have that kind of, you know, kind of continuity through the game, even though it doesn't make sense in universe. That said, like, I actually really hope they, like, this A kind of confirms they're going to have the costume system from Persona 4 Golden, which is great, because that was a really fun thing to play with, because fashion is easily one of the best ways to, like, customize your character in these games. I just loved freaking having everyone in winter clothes, because those were easily the most baller, because that's, like, freaking sick-ass jackets and shit for everyone. That was pretty cool. Or like freaking detective uniforms and whatever that they had in Persona 4 Golden. There was just this fun stuff, which means, and the fact that it's most likely back in this is great. So with that, there's also the CE edition, the collector's edition, or whatever they want to call it, coming, and that has like a crazy 5-disc soundtrack with like, which is like a greatest hits of every main Persona game music out there, as picked by Shoji Meguro, or however you say his name. I probably butchered it, but whatever. He's probably one of my favorite composers alive at the moment. Handpicked by him, all 5 games, just straight up music from those, and that's one pair. Then you get an art book, and you get a sweet carrying case, and whatever the fuck. As a person who bought the stupid pizza box edition of Catherine, I'm there, like, whatever, like, you got my money. I didn't buy the Final Fantasy one because I'm not certain if that's going to be a fucking good game. I'm talking about Final Fantasy 15 here. But I will most likely buy the Persona 5-1 just to support them. Like, at a minimum, fucking Persona 4 Golden is probably my favorite game of all time. I just want to support these guys, so whatever. So that's great. So with that all aside, the actual reveal, they announced an anime, because, of course, there's a Persona 5 anime happening. So aside from the Persona 5 anime and the other, like, smaller elements of the reveal, this is my chance to wax philosophic and excited about the actual, like, trailer itself and, like, what they showed, because they showed a lot. Like, this is probably the most reveals that they've put into a single trailer for this game, because not only do they show, like, new areas or a couple, like, more angles on areas we've seen before and some of the antagonists we've seen before, but actually, like, announced or showed four new characters and named the last two, like, if you include Caroline and Justine, the two jailers, and actually gave, like, a bit more insight into what the fuck's going on in Persona 5. So part of this is informed by a translated version of the trailer that was put up on YouTube by a dude named, his YouTube name is Ryan Shrinefox. So Ryan Shrinefox, which is a great name, because freaking Mysterious Fox from fucking Persona 4 was great. He's got a thing up on YouTube. I posted on the Giant Bomb forums in Stalker Festinic. That's me. That's my thread. Which is about the release date for Persona 4, sorry, Persona 5. I'll also be putting it in the show notes for this, like, upload. So part of it's of that, and part of it's of a IGN.com wiki article of all places, which is, like, everything we currently know about Persona 5. And those two, like, sources together will, like allow me to, like, have some form of, like, understanding what the fuck's happening. So, like, I want to pretty much start with the end of the trailer because it's, like, one of the more interesting things to me, in that, like, let's talk about, like, who the fuck you are. You're a new high school transfer student. Like, freaking stop me if you've heard this before. He's recently moved to Tokyo. So this is a game that's actually set in the real life freaking place of Tokyo. We've talked about this before on the show, but, like, it's actual place, and that's, like, meaningful for the series, because everywhere else before was made the fuck up. And that's, like, cool, because they can do things in this, like, replicating real places. Like, I believe a lot of this will be happening in Shinjuku. And that, like, adds a touch of, like, they've always been able to, like, have personality in their areas, like Gekkoukan High School and obviously Yasu Inaba, have always had, like, a sense of, like, a personality, but, like, having it tied to a real place almost heightens that. Like, a lot of this seems like heightened versions of what we previously had in Persona games. So it's, like, even cooler explorations of some of the ideas, like bigger maps, more things to do in dungeons, your exploration of, like, what it means to have a persona, that kind of stuff. Like, everything seems to be heightened in this game. That's so exciting to me. Anyway, so the main character is a new second year transfer student who's moved into Tokyo to Shujin High School. So Shujin High School is the school this is set in. I don't believe that's real, and because it's my own show, I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to freaking fact check right now. So Shujin High School, and just typing that into YouTube. Nope. Okay. That appears to be just a straight up Persona 5 thing, which is probably for the best. You don't really want to be you just don't want that kind of fucking attention. Anyway, so Shujin High School. So we had Gekkoukan, Yasu Inaba, and now finally Shujin. So we have Shujin High School. And the cool thing about this is something that mixes in with what the creators have said about what this game is compared to previous games. So Katsura Hashino, Katsura Hashino, is the game director, and again, I apologize, even though I never hear this, for butchering his name. He's talked about how, unlike the other two, where the main characters are kind of like an outside thing that's just being drawn up into something be outside of their control and like without their personal desire to want to be drawn up into it. So for example, episode 3, you're like freaking, you move into a dorm and suddenly it's the freaking dark hour and you get attacked and you just like, you're brought into this like crime, like not really crime fighting, but this monster fighting team, like kind of almost outside of your will. And you rise up through their, you don't really rise up through their ranks, but like you get become a key member of that team. Persona 4, obviously, your friends start getting sucked into the TV, so you have to freaking go out and save them. Whereas Persona 5, you're a very different main character. So for one, this might be me reading too much into it, but people call you Joker. So people don't know, a lot of the things in Persona are based upon Arcana. And we're talking about Arcana as in, you know, tarot cards and that kind of thing. Wherein the main character is usually the Fool or Zero. The Arcana which doesn't have traits is the Arcana which assumes the traits of other Arcana, so like things like the Magician, Hermit, whatever, things that are representative of personality, styles, traits, etc. By assuming persona, that's the whole deal. Like you are, your power is the power of Zero. You can assume any persona. That's the whole idea behind the Fool. And what I believe you are in Persona 4, I think you might, actually you might be the Magician in 3. This is another opportunity for me to take a fucking second and actually fact check this thing. Persona 3 Protagonist Arcana. Let's have a look. Yeah, so I'm just going to keep talking why this freaking, this happens. But yeah, like the idea in these, in fucking 3, so 4 is that your Arcana is the Fool. Yeah, so Arcana is the Fool. Orpheus, I was right. Suck it. I'm happy about that. So yeah, you're in Persona 3, your dude is Orpheus, and your Arcana is the Fool as well. So like the Fool is the idea is that you can take on anyone's personality and become anything. And if you look at the Arcana for the Fool, we're not talking about a fool in terms of like an idiot in most cases. We're generally talking about a fool in terms of a joker. So a like a medieval style like court jester. So again, I it seems like you are the Fool once more. However, people call you Joker. And that's a really cool thing. Because like it puts a different kind of spin on it, just from a, in the same way that switching the art styles from each game from blue to yellow to now red, it puts a different like overall personality around what's previously like the same idea. So some, like if you think about the idea of like a joker versus a fool, like a joker is a more active figure. A fool is someone who goes out of the way to seem like an idiot, or to seem like a ridiculous figure in order to be laughed at, or to have no direction in life, if you're going to take the other form of meaning for the term fool. Whereas a joker is quite the opposite. It's a person who plays tricks. It's a person who goes out of, like, actually has a active role. And now we tie that back into what the creators of Persona have said, which is Katsura Hashino has said that the characters in Persona 5 are actually taking an active role in their life and choosing to get involved. They're not being dragged into a situation outside of their control. They're actually seeing something wrong in the world and then going to take go out to relate to take steps to change that bad thing. That's a really different, interesting way of approaching the whole like high school crime fighting / monster fighting genre, which this series has kind of become the embodiment of. And that actually is like, and that's what brings me back to the end of the trailer, because at the start you have Morgana calling you the Joker. And I think that's what many people are going to call you. Like in Persona 4, everyone called you Senpai. And I wouldn't be surprised if everyone just calls you Joker, at least when you're alone with them in this version of, in this Persona. So we have the old man in the Velvet Room, the mysterious old man. I forget what his actual name is. He does have a name, and there are definite pieces of like overall Shimigami Tensei lore that links him back to some of the archangels and like high top tier freaking biblical fucking characters I've discussed before. But let's just call him the old man for now. The old man says, "At last, your rehabilitation will now begin. Welcome to the Velvet Room." That's the translated version of the words he sends at the end. It says at the end of the trailer. So the idea is, unlike other versions of the game, in the, like, it seems like they're all linked. Unlike previous Persona games, the old man isn't necessarily just like finding you because he knows something bad's about to happen to you and you're going to suddenly be like a significant figure in the fate of the world. He seems to be like, it seems to be like a offshoot of the fact that you're taking an active role. Like you're forcing yourself into these situations and resting control. You are making yourself involved. And it seems like he is taking a similar, like, different role in that he's not necessarily, like, coaching you and, like, helping you along. He's, like, trying to rehabilitate you. He's trying to, like, fashion, like, redirect your energy in a positive way, trying to focus your, like, almost destructive kind of element towards doing what is probably his purpose, which is, his purpose seems to be over and over again to help people save the world. So in this case, like, he's rehabilitating you, which is great because it lends into that whole like jail aesthetic. So the Velvet Room in this case, as introduced by Caroline and Justine, is a jail, and they're like your jail keepers, and he's like the warden. And that's just a cool thing, and like, and hints at some of like the different directions they're taking with this game. Beyond that, another like really cool piece of evidence that like highlights how this game could be really different from the previous Persona games in terms of tone, is just like how the characters are reacting to things in the world. So some of the words from the trailer are, "That bastard's a demon. I will never grow up to be like him." And that's talking about what we think is, or what's showing, being shown on the screen, what appears to be the principal, who turns into this weird, like, king demon. It seems like the characters are, like, have a very defined moral compass in this game, and they're going out of their ways to change the world. Another line that's said is, "Their hearts can be changed if we get involved." So the core of this is like, you are the phantom thieves. You are the thieves that steal into people's hearts and change them. Your whole, the point of your escapades is to actually invade another world. And we know there's another world, like inverted commas, another world, because of the opening statements of this, which I haven't written down, but like, a person's interviewing the main character and asks him what he knows about the other world, how he found it and stuff. So he is invading the other world of these people, and through some means regarding that is changing their outlook on life, whether by defeating their internal demons or some other case. And that's kind of like added to by what I think is some visions of like the inner demons of some of the characters that were introduced. There's like this large, short-haired a girl with a demon body in one of the scenes that's like fighting the main party, and I assume that's the inner demon of the biker girl, which we'll talk about later. That's cool. So yeah, their hearts can be changed if we get involved. That's like a massive inclusive term or set of like phrase that like really sets the trajectory of this game and makes me kind of excited. And then there's another thing, like, everyone's in on it. So the whole team is getting behind you. There's one of the things that are said is like, "Which evildoers will we punish next?" So, like, the team wants to get behind this idea of changing the world one evildoer at a time by changing their hearts. And that's a really interesting, different twist on this whole thing. But, of course, everything doesn't go that way. It's not a case of like, hey, they save the world one person at a time. Of course, shit gets real and a organization gets involved. So, through their manipulation of these people by Inception-esque changing their internal values through like invading their inner worlds, they get noticed by an organization. That's all we really know about it. It's called a dangerous organization. Some of the words that is said during the trailer is, I don't know how they're doing it, but this dangerous organization is capable of intimidating many nations. This organization is so big that the police have their hands full. The main characters draw the ire, it appears, of a organization, and that'll likely form like probably the second half of the game, of you like either defeating or maybe even joining this organization. I say joining because it's very possible that this organization to talk about is the Shadowhunters, the Persona 3 casts organization that they set up. I forget if they're actually called the Shadowhunters or not. I'm just going to call them that, which is to fight shadows over the world. And that could be like a cool thing if like they actually fucking just say, fuck it, we'll just tie everything in. And this does actually have the Persona stuff because some of the voices that are said could be interpreted as older versions of some of like of Mitsuru and other like Persona 3 characters that we've heard of. So that's cool. So that's the kind of world, and there's so much in this trailer that I can't really even put into words. Like just in terms of like the design of the dungeons and like freaking massive open spaces that you're traversing instead of like weird little hallways you saw in Persona 3 and Persona 4. There really are like, they really did design this for the PlayStation 3, and it'll translate really well to the PlayStation 4 because like, holy damn, this is like a next level kind of, this is next level shit. Like everything's been turned up to fucking 11 here with like freaking stealth sequences that actually seem cool because they tie into like how you get advantage during combat. Even things like the post-battle animation of like before, it'll just like tell you what you earned, like XP and all kind of stuff, but like that's now like part of the animation of your characters running away from the battle. Like it's everything's just so stylish, everything's just so like ingrained into the world and the and how it presents this like other world and infiltrating people's inner worlds and stuff. It's like, it's so awesome, and you have to see the trailer and be in the show notes to really get an idea for it. So instead of like going into that and describing that, I'm just going to just go into the actual other parts that are revealed in this trailer, and that's the characters. And that's what the really important thing is, because a lot of people, not really myself, because I knew there'd be more characters, but a lot of people were concerned that the one female and four male characters that were previously revealed, or two female if you count Morgana, previously shown, were the extent of the main crew. And that would be concerning, because like half the reason we play Persona games is for the social links and show social interaction between yourself and your other parties. Like the main character in Kanji, the main character in Naoto, the main character, like pretty much freaking every interpersonal relationship you form in Persona 4 is, if not meaningful, at least memorable, or if not memorable, at least interesting. And like the core of why people care about that game. Like I wouldn't give a shit about Persona 4 even anywhere near as much as I did if it was like Persona 3 and the main like party didn't become your best friends. Like in Persona 3 you essentially get to meet like one or two of your main party at a time. Like in many cases, a lot of them like are either gated off from you pretty much artificially due to like either having like conflicting schedules in the school, like school life, or not being part of the same floor, the girls' half of the dorm, or weird fucking shit like that. Like, it takes you a long time to even have the option of talking to some of the characters in that game. Whereas in Persona 4, it really does, like, they really figured out that they had something really special in the friendships you create in Persona 3. So they had that like immediate bond you gain with the main characters. Like within the first 5 hours, you have like fucking 4 to 8 social links going on. And you're immediately like getting to know everyone and generally like forming a deep relationship with someone who has your back in combat and actually ties into combat, because like you have like things like they can slap you out of conditions and like other like gameplay effects that come out of it as well. Like there's great little things that they did in Persona 4, and that's why it was so meaningful. So when previously all we'd seen is the same 5 characters, and the characters I'm talking about is the main character, Ryuji Sakamoto, who seems to be like the Yosuke-esque character, the blonde dude with a yellow shirt and a jacket, Morgana, who's obviously the cat, Anne Takamaki, who's the blonde, blue-eyed, like, red chick, her uniform's red, I don't know, cat girl, whatever, and Yusuke Kitagawa, who's like the painter dude, like the smart dude archetype character. And people were worried that would be it. I don't know why, but like, because considering there's a reason that people like myself trust Persona Studio is because they've shown they know what the fuck they're doing. And thankfully, like, whether for good or for ill, they just went out of the way and said fuck it and then blew out the doors and gave us a bunch of new characters. So perhaps the most fleshed out new character and the one which became like the de facto and fucking whatever, I'm not going to weigh in positively or negatively on this, but like the de facto waifu of NeoGAF is Futaba Sakura, or if you're to say her name English style, be Sakura Futaba. She's like a long orange haired geeky chick with like big glasses. And her whole thing is that she's a hacker. So she appears to be the support character in the same way that Rise or Teddy or Fuka were in previous Persona games. And she seems to be like a hacker who can hack into the other world and give your party buffs. And also like, you know, whatever. She's like most likely a love interest for the main character and all that kind of shit. But she seems kind of cool. She seems to have like a... sorry, I'm just going to cough here. Seems to have a like kind of helpful, but also like wants to prove herself and also like angry kind of attitude. That seems kind of cool. But the other two characters I personally think are more interesting. I mean, also we know them less. So one of them is what appears to be, because the audio that was put over her the first time you see her, the student council president. So the Mitsuru / although you don't really have a party member, or kind of Yukiko, but not really. The Mitsuru kind of Yukiko kind of maybe even older student. She's a girl with short hair and what appears to be probably anger problems. Very much in the way that like some of the biker-esque characters in previous Personas were. But her whole deal is like she's a student council president and she's got a very strong moral compass and she wants to change the world for the positive. And she's really fucking cool. Like she's got a cool freaking bike and that's pretty awesome. I don't think we saw her persona, but yeah, she's just like her whole deal. She seems to be in almost every, character like action sequence in as portrayed in the trailer, which means she's probably one of the earlier characters that join you. But in general, she's probably going to be the powerhouse or like physical. It's weird because there's such a disparity in persona between like the like emotional aspects of a character and their gameplay aspects. So I think that emotionally she'd be like that student council president, like really more moral kind of character, but like gameplay wise she's gonna be like the Kanji-esque like power charge freaking Mataru Kaja fucking god hand or primal force, like heavy hitter physical character. That's pretty cool. It's cool to have like another strong female character in that position, like Chie was in the previous game. But this chick seems to have less, like, fewer insecurities than Shiei. But, you know, it's Persona games, so she probably have plenty of insecurities of her own. And the third character that they introduced was a what a lot of people think is the coolest character they've introduced so far. Minako, she's, like, a badass who, like, smokes fools while drinking high tea. She calls herself the Beautiful Thief, which is great. Because Morgana calls her on that and says, like, yeah, she's totally modest. She's with this chick with, like, medium length pink hair that, like, walks around in a fantastical, like, medieval gentleman thief kind of uniform. I don't know if we see her persona either, but yeah, like, she seems like a really cool character, and also seems... Oh, it doesn't seem like the. It introduces an interesting point wherein Morgana is seen to introduce her to the main party. So this might actually be the first alternate, or not necessarily alternate, but like additional party member you get beyond the OG four. In that, like, yeah, Morgana introduces her to you, and she seems to be total badass. Like, I don't know if this is going to be part of combat or if it's just, like, her entrance scene, but, like, she totally has, like, a finishing move where the screen goes red and all the enemies seem to, like, dissipate into, like, shreds or get shredded, and then she just, like, focuses on her, and she says, adieu, and she's, like, freaking drinking tea. That might, like, hint at some cool finisher moves that are, like, maybe that's her, this is my chance move that Shiei had, where, like, when your character crits a enemy, they get, like, a one-off, mass kill move or something. This could probably be the return of that, and that's pretty cool. So yeah, she seems really cool, and I'm really happy that, in every case, the female characters that have been introduced are either, at least on surface values, very strong, very different from each other, and very interesting. And that's awesome. And beyond that, there's a final male character that no one knows and wasn't really introduced by name, and is generally, like, his face is covered in a lot of stuff. He appears to be this very straight-laced dude who reminds me of Akihiko, and we'll see. Like, I really don't know anything about him. So that's kind of the thing. So yeah, like, that great little, like, one-off things, like, you can work in a fast food joint and, like, serve people fast food at the tables and weird stuff like that. Those are the big takeaways. Like, those were the big takeaways from this thing, and that's pretty cool. I was really, really happy to see a 2016 release date for this thing. And sure, that's for Japan, and sure, Europe's probably never going to get it fucking this year. But, like, one of the final, like, goodbye kind of messages they put up was the next big stop for Persona 5's E3. And there's a straight-up, like, image of Morgana parachuting into L.A., or, like, a map of the western side of the United States with a pin in L.A. with her, like, parachuting on the side, with E3 on it. So, at a minimum, we're going to see more Persona 5 stuff at E3, and considering that the Japanese release date has been put out, they've revealed what appears to be every character, except barring maybe one, and they have put out four PVs or videos about this thing, four different trailers. I think it's very likely that the final thing that's going to be announced at E3 is the Western release date. And I am still holding out hope that this is going to be 2016. It might sound crazy to think so, but that's probably, like, the last thing I'll need to make this year one of the best years ever in gaming. Noni will be getting Final Fantasy 15, but we'll be getting Uncharted 4 in a couple of days. I'm recording this on the 6th of the 5th. And Persona 5 at the end of the year. Maybe even The Last Guardian, probably not, but, you know. Yeah, this could be really great. So that's it. I have been talking nonstop and I'm coughing and like have like a blocked nose now, but I'm just so excited about this stuff. This is freaking awesome. There's so much shit going on. It's such a fucking awesome trailer. It just reminds me of like, delays are good for video games. I doubt they could have gotten like the amount of unique art that's already been shown, like dwarfs stuff in other games. And just like the amount of style that's been put into this game, like, oh, if they get this game running well on both platforms, the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, and it just maintains this level of like imagination and style and like color palette and all that kind of stuff, it just like puts other developers to shame in the same way that like freaking Rockstar and Naughty Dog do. Like, these guys are probably the Japanese developers in my eyes. Square has a lot to prove with Final Fantasy 15, especially after the many errors, even though I didn't hate it, the many errors that surrounded Final Fantasy 13. But man, it's a small team, but they just put so much heart into these games. I'm so happy that this is a thing that exists and is confirmed to exist and has a release date now. So yeah, all I really need now is a Western release date. And even better if it was a Western release date in this year. And with that, that's your cynical supplement for the week. I wanted to put in my thoughts of the Avengers movie, or no, Avengers movie, Captain America Civil War, which I'm watching tomorrow, but I'll be away from my PC and unable to record. So that's probably going to be in the next big episode of the Scotchcast. So the way this is going up, it appears that this is going to go up around the same time, if not before, the recording of our Dark Souls 3 spoiler cast. So you have last week's episode, which is us talking about stuff like Neo, and a bunch of other like recent games. Then there's going to be this supplement, and then it'll be the Dark Souls stuff. And finally, next week's recording, wherein I'll probably talk about the Avengers, or Captain America. So yeah, it's a pretty freaking big week in video games. Also, oh yeah, I'll definitely be talking about Uncharted. I'm not sure if I'd finish it by the time we record again, but I'll be definitely talking about Uncharted. So man, this is a time to be alive if you're a gamer. So thanks for listening. I've been talking nonstop. Holy cow, I don't think there's been much dead air, so I'm impressed with myself, if anything. I don't think there'll be any musical interludes, so I apologize about that, but I'll definitely put in the second of the two ones I liked, the two tracks I liked from the fucking pre-roll sequence to the announcement stream. So hope you like these tunes. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next official Scotchcast episode. Bye.